Welcome to Radio Disclosure. Now, don't touch that dial. If you're into paranormal, well, this week we've got a show for you. Valley Rojas is our guest. Valley is a public speaker, Nashville musician. She is the head of Earthbound Spirits, a paranormal research group in Nashville, Tennessee, as well as she's the assistant organizer of the Nashville Paranormal Society. We'll have Valley back to tell some interesting stories right after this. As a shortwave radio listener, you know there's no such thing as a good indoor antenna. If you're looking for an antenna that allows you to pull in those distant signals and also gets rid of the atmospheric noise, you need a good outdoor antenna. But in a lot of cases, folks can't have an outdoor antenna. Now you can. Trans World Antennas is the name of the company. The website is transworldantennas.com. Go to their site and check out the TW2010 or the 4040 or the 8080 for that matter. These are all antennas that will increase the sensitivity of your shortwave radio. It gets the antenna that receives outside of the indoor environment, away from electrical noise, the pops and cracks and things that go on inside a building, and they hide. The TW2010 just literally disappears wherever you put it. Folks don't see it. And it's a good antenna for your receiver. It's a good match for any shortwave radio. If you're having difficulty pulling in those distant signals, or if you're looking for a portable antenna that you can take with you wherever you go, you want it to be low profile, you want it to be stealth, where you can set it up and nobody really knows it's an antenna, this is the antenna for you. Go to the website, transworldantennas.com. That's transworldantennas.com. And get a TW2010, a 4040, or an 8080, whichever model best suits your receiving needs. You'll be glad you did. Transworldantennas.com. With me is Valley Rojas, and she is with the Earthbound Spirits Group. And they're located in Tennessee, actually, is where they are. We're not too far from us. And this whole thing of ghost hunting has gotten to be it's a very popular thing now. All these television programs. And, of course, all this was kind of preceded with a movie Ghost, and which was turned into be an actual movie classic. So tell me, when did you get started ghost hunting is the best way to say it. When did you get started in that?
Well, you know, Ted, a long time ago when I was a little girl, I saw my grandfather when I was about 4 years old. And, of course, he was dead, and I didn't know, but I saw this man in a chair, and I woke my grandmother up screaming, because I didn't know what it was. It was a man with a hat, and he had a pipe in his mouth, and I was crying. And she ran into the room, and, of course, he wasn't there. But I didn't know who it was. I just thought it was a man, and it scared me. And then later on, I picked him out of the photo album, and he was my grandfather. And that was my first experience of seeing a ghost, but it was my grandfather. And then later on, as I grew older, I kept seeing things, and I just thought it was my imagination. So I more or less kind of cut it off. And then as I grew older, and I was in Houston, I had children, and they kind of saw things when they were little, because I guess children are more susceptible to see spirits than adults are, because we are trained to cut it off. And I still saw what my kids saw. And I realized after my parents had passed away that my mother, when my father died 3 weeks before my mom did, my father came back to see my mom. And we didn't want my mother to know that my father had passed, because she mentally wasn't able to handle this. And my mother, she thought he was in the hospital, and I had heard my father come down the hallway, and my mother said, "I thought your father was in the hospital." And I said, "Mom, he is." And she said, "No, he is not. Who is that?" And I smelt the flowers that was on my father's coffin, and I looked up, And there he was. It was my dad. And about 2 weeks later, my mother passed. So my father waited for my mom, and I knew at that time that that's what my calling was. It was become a full ghost hunter, because I wanted to prove that once you do die, that life does go on, and you do, you know, go to another realm, and that it would be wonderful to know that you don't have to be scared, that when you do pass, that it will be wonderful, and there is a light, and you do see your family. And that's why it isn't because I want to play around with something that's bad. It's because I want to help people. That's the only reason, because there's no money involved. In fact, I've gone broke by doing and buying all this stuff. But it's because I want to help, and that's the only reason.
Well, now, let me ask you this question. Do you feel, in the investigations you've done and whatnot, do you feel that it's possible for a person who dies, if they're not, let's just say they're not necessarily in tune with God, and they're not, you know, they're not exactly where they ought to be, do you feel it's possible for those folks to get stuck in a location and not move, or even possibly not even realize that they're dead?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I think that anyone who dies in a traumatic death, they don't realize that they're dead. They're stuck, and they're reliving this death occurrence over and over again.
But that's not everybody that dies a violent or tragic death.
Not everybody. Now, some people, I believe, are scared when they die. Especially, I believe in my heart that if they're like a mean person, that, you know, like if they're a rapist or a killer or someone who's done something really bad, I think that in my soul, I kind of feel in my heart that if they're a bad person and they've done something really cruel to someone and they die, I think they're scared to go to the light, because I think they're afraid of the repercussion of what's going to happen. I feel that in my heart, that they don't want to go to the light, and that's why they don't move on. And I think that's what a lot of people get, the feeling that they think, oh my gosh, I got a demon in my home or something. I think they get that confused with a spirit that is just downright mean. You know, I think that's why they think, oh, I got something demonic in my house. It doesn't necessarily mean it's demonic. It means it's just a mean person. It's a mean spirit that doesn't want to go to the light because he's afraid that if he does, he's going to have to suffer the repercussion of what's going to happen.
But now there is infestation of places and homes with genuine demon spirits or non-human entities.
Yes, there is.
That are really not the kind of folks you'd want to have over for dinner.
Oh, yeah. I agree with that. And those places, I leave that to the demonologist. I am not a demonologist. Don't want to be. I'm not even experienced in that. And if that ever occurred, I would look up the people that I do know, and I would pass that case on to someone else, because that's something that I didn't even want to be around, because I'm not a professional in that. But I would help the person that thought that that would happen, or they think that that's happening.
Well, you know, up until recently, you know, I had the opinion, at least I thought I had the opinion, that, you know, evil spirits, and I'm talking about even non-human spirits, were just destined for hell, period. That's it. You know, the decision had already been made, and that's where they were headed. And I really believe that until I ran into Dr. Barrett and watched him work, and I was just amazed. And you had a chance to review some of the video footage that that was taken of him at a location here where he was addressing these spirits, and it was amazing. They have a device in, and for folks that don't know what that is, they call it a K2 meter. It's a meter that measures milligauss, which is a electromagnetic energy. I suppose it also measures electrostatic energy, too, to some degree. But we were in a location where this thing was filmed. There was no power in the building.
Right.
So there was nothing there to cause these meters to react. But now you've had the same kind of reaction. In other words, you've had K2 meters react. Tell us about that. Tell us how they work and how these things have reacted around you, what you've seen. And I know to start with, you had to be a bit skeptical of the electronic devices.
Yeah, well, what you try to do is that when you use these devices, you have to make sure that you haven't got any type of electricity going on, you know, to give you a false reading. And there's so many skeptics around. You want to make sure that you have other devices, usually, to back up what you're showing as evidence. I usually try to do that. You know, so, for instance, if you have an orb or if you have an apparition or an EVP, which is an electronic voice that you pick up, you want to show, well, I have a K2, which is that device you're talking about that's lighting up. You want to say, this lit up. At the same time, the voice came on. At the same time, this device meter went off. And, I have multiple devices going off. And at the same time, we had no electricity going on. There was nothing. And beforehand, there was nothing on. We cut everything. We took all measurements. We took all kind of readings. There was nothing going on before we started the investigations. And then we asked on command to make this device go on and off, and it did so. Now, if you're able to make something like that do it on command, I would have to say, yes, definitely, you have something, because devices do not cut off and on command. You know, that's just not the way it goes.
Well, you would ask a question.
Off, but they do not do it on command, and especially if you get an EVP of a voice of a person.
You would ask a question and say, if you can light up this light for me, do that for yes, and then just don't respond for no, and you would ask yes or no questions. And what you're saying is, when you would ask a question where the answer was yes, the meter would light up. It would come
all the way, yes. Mm-hmm. It would. In fact, sometimes it would go all the way up to red and all the way back down.
So this wasn't something that where you are, where it was, if something was turning the light on and off at random.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And see, what
because this was...
put a coin in just like Ghost Hunters, which means, because I don't have the new ones, which you cut on and off, I put a coin in that gives it an automatic one green light. That way you don't get any false pretenses of it being pushed with your finger. So that way you automatically have it cut on, and that way no one can say, oh, you accidentally pushed the device on or off. And that way the device is already on. So if you get a reading and it gets going higher and it goes on and off, up, you know, on command, when you ask questions after you've already done your initial readings, then I would say yes, with other devices to back it up, that yes, you have made contact.
Well, I guess what I was saying is the on and off sequences that you're seeing correspond with the questioning. So in other words, if there were something else, an external source of some sort, triggering this thing to come on, the chances of it being able to trigger at the exact time that you're asking questions and to do that over a period of time, well, it would be impossible. In other words, it would be absolutely impossible. If it were something in the room, I'm just going to say, like, for example, a computer in the second floor upstairs, and, you know, and the thing was putting out pulses, or if it was a cell phone that would talk to the cell tower every once in a while and the K2 meter would pick that up. The problem is you couldn't get it to do it on a long-term basis. It would correspond with questioning that would go for 30 minutes, 45 minutes to an hour.
No. Those little K2s, they're such a small little device that it would only pick up a certain little area. You know what I'm saying? It's not like a cell phone, or it's not like a high electronical device. You know what I'm saying? They're not a real big electronical device that can do such wonders of the world. You know, they're only the radius of what they pick up is like within a certain amount of footage, within 20 feet. So they're not going to pick up, you know, spirits or electronic waves for two rooms or three rooms. So if you got a signal, you know, two houses away, it's not going to pick up.
You're listening to Radio Disclosure. Our guest this week, Valley Rojas, and we'll be right back right after this. If you're the decision maker for any form of outdoor lighting,
You're going to want to listen to this. The Light Pack Systems induction lights, manufactured in the USA by a severely disabled workforce, uses a unique physical principle of light generation. This lamp system is therefore classified in a new family of sources, the Light Pack induction lamp systems. Light Pack induction lighting is a breakthrough for professional, general, and special lighting applications, not only because of its high luminescence and efficiency, but especially because of its unprecedented lifetime. System lifetime is rated at 100,000 hours, or about 20 years, based on 5,000 burning hours per year. With a failure rate of less than 10%. With this unmatched durability, LightPack offers substantial savings in direct maintenance costs as well as indirect costs. Induction lighting is relatively new in the United States, but it's proven technology developed in Europe over 20 years ago. Therefore, claims of durability is based on real-world empirical data, as opposed to estimated design life provided by competitive lighting technologies such as LED. LightPack Systems was founded on the principles of green solutions for modern lighting through strong partnerships with the U.S. military, the University of Central Florida, and several national energy service companies. LightPack offers lighting solutions that provide a better quality of light with a 66% energy savings, also lasting up to 5 times longer than standard lighting options. LightPack's quality shines through with their standard 10-year warranty on all products. Call today for your free demonstration. Go to their website, lightpacksystems.com. That's lightpacksystems.com, spelled LitePackSystems. lightpacksystems.com.
As a shortwave radio listener, you know there's no such thing as a good indoor antenna. If you're looking for an antenna that allows you to pull in those distant signals and also gets rid of the atmospheric noise, you need a good outdoor antenna. But in a lot of cases, folks can't have an outdoor antenna. Now you can. Transworld Antennas is the name of the company. The website is transworldantennas.com. Go to their site and check out the TW2010 or the 4040 or the 8080 for that matter. These are all antennas that will increase the sensitivity of your shortwave radio. It gets the antenna that receives outside of the indoor environment, away from electrical noise, the pops and cracks and things that go on inside a building, and they hide. The TW2010 just literally disappears wherever you put it. Folks don't see it. And it's a good antenna for your receiver. It's a good match for any shortwave radio. If you're having difficulty pulling in those distant signals, or if you're looking for a portable antenna that you can take with you wherever you go, you want it to be low profile, you want it to be stealth, where you can set it up and nobody really knows it's an antenna, this is the antenna for you. Go to the website, transworldantennas.com. That's transworldantennas.com. And get a TW2010, a 4040, or an 8080, whichever model best suits your receiving needs. You'll be glad you did. TransworldAntennas.com. Are you needing a place to put up a website? Have you looked around? You want to do something that's easy, that's simple, and very, very inexpensive, but yet looks professional? Are you having troubles with your computer? Do you need some tech support help? Are you tired of being connected to India every time you pick up the telephone to get some help on a machine or on a website? The people to call is tux-support.com. That's tux-support.com. T-U-X, like tuxedo, -support, the word support.com. These are the people to call. They can get you going. It won't cost you an arm and a leg. You can afford to work with these folks. They're professionals. They answer in plain English, and they can help you do things from a very, very basic, simple standpoint. If you have something that you want to do that's a complex project, well, they can handle that as well. But if you're like I am, when you're trying to put something up on the web or you need help with a computer, you really want somebody that speaks English. And you want it to be simple, and you don't want to have to pay an arm and a leg for it. And you want to deal with some good folks. Go to their website, tux-support.com. That's tux-support.com. Something new at Radio Disclosure. We have been collecting items of interest. Something that you might want. And once a month, we are going to have a drawing and give away some of these items of interest. Now, if you'd like to get your name in the hat, write us an email. Go to radiodisclosure.com. That's radiodisclosure.com. Shoot us an email and tell us a little bit about yourself. And tell us that you're interested in the items of interest. We're going to do a drawing once a month. And several people that listen to Radio Disclosure are going to get something really cool. We look forward to hearing from you. Go to our website, radiodisclosure.com, and send us an email. And keep listening and tell your friends about Radio Disclosure. This is Radio Disclosure. And now, back to our special guest, Valley Rojas. What I'm saying is the time sequence. Like, for example, let's just say that you ask the question, is there anyone here with me? Okay. And at that particular moment, a cell phone across the room talked to its cell tower. All right. Mm-hmm. And they will pick up cell phones because I've seen this. Okay.
Oh, yeah, but we always make sure everything's cut off before we do that. Whenever we investigate, mm-hmm. we have all cell phones cut off. We don't have anything on when we investigate.
Okay. Well, now, hear me out.
Okay.
Let's just say that I was in the room and I had my cell phone on.
Uh-huh.
And you asked the question, is there someone here? And it just so happens that at that moment, my cell phone communicates with the cell tower,
uh-huh.
and the K2 meter lights up, and somebody says, whoa, there's somebody here. Okay. So now you ask another question, and you say, did you die here? Let's say you ask that question.
Right.
Well, my cell phone is not going to communicate with the cell tower again for another 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. So you're going to sit there, and you're not going to get an answer. You know, and then you're going to ask another question, and you're still not going to get an answer. And you're going to ask another question, and for all practical purposes, the K2 meter has gone dead. You know, and what I mean by that is that my cell phone may trigger it once.
Right.
You know, some other device in the house might trigger it once, a motor kicking on somewhere on a freezer or a refrigerator, just using that as an example. But it is not going to be able to, in other words, that whatever that is kicking on is not going to kick on every time you ask a question. And these things will respond every time you ask a question. They start lighting up. So what I'm saying is I was just showing or trying to illustrate the improbability of an object in the room, of just an everyday piece of electronic equipment, causing the thing to behave in such a way to where you ask a question and then all of a sudden it lights up. It's just not feasible is what I was saying.
Yeah, you're right.
Now, what is, I guess I want to say, you decided at one point in time after your background that you wanted to go ahead and do investigations. What was the first step? What was the thing that you did first in order to get into investigating ghosts and paranormal type activities?
Well, you know, my sister and I, we kind of went into it blindsided. we went to the Crescent Hotel, which is really nice, and met some wonderful guys there. And I got a really good picture of a ghost, and I was stunned, and I was happy. And, because, ghost hunters went there, and we were all excited, and I put it on the Internet. And then I went to Kentucky, and I went to this little bed and breakfast, and I had an experience, and I talked about that on Spooktacular, and from then on, I wasn't too happy about that experience, but I kind of got a scare out of me. You know, I'm not a young woman, and a ghost kind of scared the crap out of me, and that experience wasn't fun at all, and then that's when I realized that, you know, ghost hunting isn't all chill, all fun, or whatever. You need to make sure you know what you're doing, and you need to really be prepared what you're doing, because, you know, when you go into the paranormal field, it looks really exciting on TV. But when you go into a place to investigate, you need to have all information. You need to know where you're at, what is the location, what is the history, because you don't know what you're stepping into, and if you are going into a place that's really dangerous, you don't know what you're going to take home with you. In other words, you have to be careful because, you know, like you said, it could be in a demon in there. You don't know. I do believe demons exist, and if it's known to be a demonic place, I'm not going because ghosts like me, and I don't want to go anywhere that has anything like that because it's scary. It really is. And I look at it this way. They don't have to sleep. They don't have to eat. They don't have to drink. We do. They're on 24 hours a day. We're not. So they have an advantage point, not us. So you have to be careful, really careful. And I have been scared several times, but I'm still not giving up because I believe I really can help. And that's why I stay in the field.
What was the scariest thing you've ever experienced while doing a ghost hunt?
Well, when the ghost screamed in my ear at the homestead, my sisters and I, we were there. We had investigated that place. We looked around. We got some really good pictures. We went to lay in the bed. We all slept in the same bed. My sister was in the middle. My other sister was on the far left side, and I was on the other side. We went to bed around 11:30. I was laying there, and I felt something touch my arm. And I told my sister, I said, "Something just touched my arm." And she said, "Oh, Valerie, you'll be fine. Just go to sleep." I said, "All right." And I lay there, and I started to go to sleep, and I felt it again. It rubbed my arm. I told my sister, I'm not going to say her name. I said, "It touched my arm again. I mean, this time it touched it really hard." And she made a joke about it. She said, "Well, at least it didn't hit you." And I was like, "Oh, my God, don't say that." You know, because I thought, "Oh, Lord, it's going to really do something." You know, and then I was like, "Okay." You know, so finally I calmed down and I finally went to sleep. And about 3:30 in the morning, I had this shrill, loud scream from I don't know where in my ear, and it was so loud that my sister, the one that made that comment, she flew out of the bed. She was up in the air. It scared her so much. I mean, that's how loud it was. It woke her up, and she was up in the air. My sister in the middle, she was so scared, she couldn't even move. She thought she'd just lay there and play dead like she was asleep. It wouldn't bother her. It was so horrifying because it was such a loud scream. It was horrifying. My ear on the other side, I even had like little tricklets of blood, like it busted my eardrum. I mean, it was so horrifying, and I was like just like in a stunned mode because I didn't understand what happened. You know, like what did it do? You know, so we lay there and lay there, and like she wanted to get out. She said, let's go, let's get out of here now. You know, and I was like, wait a minute, we're ghost hunting, we can't go. What are you talking about? We'll look so stupid. So we just sit there for a couple of hours till we calmed down. And then that morning, you know, because then by that time sunrise came. But that morning we asked the owner about it, and she said it had happened to her. But I'm like, why do you live here if this happens to you? But anyhow, not to change the subject, shortly after that, we went to a conference, and that's when I was told I had an attachment. And then the story continued. But that was the most scariest, because from then on, I have seen more things and been touched by more ghosts than I ever have been in my life.
Explain to the listeners, because I'm not sure. So sure, I understand. Exactly, when someone told you had an attachment, what does that mean?
An attachment is where a ghost or a spirit likes you so much, they follow you home. That's why I tell people, when you go into the paranormal field, that you really need to be careful. Because if you go into a place and you don't know what's going on, anybody can get an attachment. Attachment is where a ghost likes your energy, and they think they know you or they just like you, and they'll follow you. They'll be right with you, and they stay with you, and they won't leave. You know, they're right up on you. And sometimes, you know, it could be a bad energy. Sometimes it could be a good energy. But sometimes they'll mess with you. You know, and sometimes they want you to deliver messages. So Sometimes they don't. Sometimes they think they know you. Sometimes they think you're a wife in another life, or sometimes they think that you're, you know, your sister, your brother, or sometimes they could be a mean person, you know. It's just another spirit that will not leave because they think that they are part of you, and they like you, and they like your energy. And they won't go. And sometimes you have to get somebody to get it off of you because they could suck you dry. And sometimes, you know, a lot of people, just like the exorcist, sometimes you can get demons attached to you. Thank God mine wasn't. Mine was not a demonic energy because I had a bishop come to my room and check it out, and he said, no, I didn't have anything demonic, but I did have an attachment. And I think I got it from that night that ghost screamed in my ear.
You're listening to Radio Disclosure. Our guest this week, Valley Rojas, and we'll be right back. Right after this. If you're the decision maker for any form of outdoor lighting, you're going to want to listen to this. The Light Pack Systems induction lights, manufactured in the USA by a severely disabled workforce, uses a unique physical principle of light generation. This lamp system is therefore classified in a new family of sources, the Light Pack induction lamp systems. LightPack induction lighting is a breakthrough for professional, general, and special lighting applications, not only because of its high luminescence and efficiency, but especially because of its unprecedented lifetime. System lifetime is rated at 100,000 hours, or about 20 years, based on 5,000 burning hours per year. With a failure rate of less than 10%. With this unmatched durability, LightPack offers substantial savings in direct maintenance costs as well as indirect costs. Induction lighting is relatively new in the United States, but it's proven technology developed in Europe over 20 years ago. Therefore, claims of durability is based on real-world empirical data, as opposed to estimated design life provided by competitive lighting technologies such as LED. LightPack Systems was founded on the principles of green solutions for modern lighting through strong partnerships with the U.S. military, the University of Central Florida, and several national energy service companies. LightPack offers lighting solutions that provide a better quality of light with a 66% energy savings, also lasting up to 5 times longer than standard lighting options. LightPack's quality shines through with their standard 10-year warranty on all products. Call today for your free demonstration. Go to their website, lightpacksystems.com. That's lightpacksystems.com, spelled LitePackSystems, lightpacksystems.com. Since the beginning of time and across the history of radio broadcasting, there's only one radio station that has ever earned a full-length documentary dedicated totally and completely to its rise to a pinnacle never before achieved by any radio station, and its fall. This is a story of what happened when the most legendary programming genius of all time takes the reins of an obscure Canadian radio station in the small city of Windsor, Canada, and creates a radio legend that rocked the Motor City, the USA, and half a continent.
That does it for Big Tom Rivers, 1971, and Hank O'Neill starts a brand new year next at CKLW. For the last time this year, I will say to you, rock on, mother!
Ladies and gentlemen, the beat goes on.
CKLW.
2020 news guys, they were disc jockeys without music. Bum, bum, bum. And everybody knew that something was going to happen. You knew something was going to happen.
Motor City Mayor Roman Gribbs has a mad on for an unidentified rapist, a butcher knife-wielding pervert cornered a secretary in the elevator at Detroit City County Building and rode her to a vacant seventh floor and proceeded to sexually assault her. Guards are now being considered for future surveillance of the crime-stained seventh floor. Lee Marshall, 2020 News.
Now, Markham Street Productions takes you there as you relive the rise and fall of
the Big HCKLW, the Motor City.
You can now own your own copy of this new DVD documentary, Radio Revolution, the Rise and Fall of the Big Eight, from Markham Street Productions.
The special edition DVD of this award-winning feature-length documentary includes extra scenes, outtakes, photos, and special features. Radio Revolution, The Rise and Fall of the Big Eight is now available for only $29.95 plus shipping. Go to RadioRevolutionDVD.com. That's RadioRevolutionDVD.com. Order now while supply lasts. RadioRevolutionDVD.com. That's RadioRevolutionDVD.com.
And the hits just keep on coming.
CKLW, the Motor City.
Is it possible that a coffee roaster who has been blind from birth could make the best tasting coffee in the world? Well, I'm here to tell you that not only is it possible, but it's true. If you would like the most delightful, rich cup of coffee you have ever drank in your life, I'd like to invite you to visit the website of The Unseen Bean. That's The Unseen Bean, UNSEENBEAN. TheUnseenBean.com. Jerry Leary, amateur radio operator, shortwave listener, he is the owner of The Unseen Bean, one of the country's few blind coffee roasters. You will love his coffee. We want to invite you once again, go to his website, and that's TheUnseenBean.com. That's TheUnseenBean.com. Something new at Radio Disclosure. We have been collecting items of interest. Something that you might want. And once a month, we are going to have a drawing and give away some of these items of interest. Now, if you'd like to get your name in the hat, write us an email. Go to radiodisclosure.com. That's radiodisclosure.com. Shoot us an email and tell us a little bit about yourself and tell us that you're interested in the items of interest. We're going to do a drawing once a month, and several people that listen to Radio Disclosure are going to get something really cool. We look forward to hearing from you. Go to our website, radiodisclosure.com, and send us an email. And keep listening and tell your friends about Radio Disclosure. This is Radio Disclosure. And now, back to our special guest, Valley Rojas. Well, at this point, do you feel that you still have this attachment?
Yes, I do. I can't get him to leave.
And, well, let me ask you this. What kind of things does this spirit do that lets you know that it's there?
Well, he has said, I've gotten voices with his name. He said that I didn't finish the job, that I need to go back and tell the lady some messages of the history of that place where I was. See, we went back to that place, and we went back for a Halloween fest. And when we went back, we more or less did like a little Halloween thing for her and her location. But we were going to investigate, but it was just too late, and we didn't. And I didn't want to go back because I was already like freaked out from the first time, but I did it just because I wanted to help her out because she's a wonderful lady. But anyhow, I already had the EBGBs from the last time. My mother used to call them EBGBs. But anyhow, this spirit has already so many words. You know, at first I try to ignore it. Like I said, you know, when I first started coming to my guests, it would wake me up. It would pull the covers off my bed. And at first I thought maybe I was sleeping, you know, it was just a dream or something, but I'd open my eyes and I'd see the covers come off my bed. And I thought, well, I'm not asleep because
would the covers move while you were watching them? Or
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. At first I thought maybe I was dreaming this, but I'd open my eyes and I'd look and the covers just pull off of my bed, off of me. So then I knew it wasn't a dream, you know, because at first I thought, well, I'm just having a nightmare. And then another time, because I told you I was trying to ignore this. And then I thought, well, okay, I'm going out of my mind. And then Peggy said, quit playing around with your ghost equipment. You know, just ignore it, because that's what the bishop told me. Just ignore it, go home, ignore it, and it'll go away. So then another time I tried to ignore it, and then I felt like something was strangling me, had his hands around my neck, was choking me. And I was laying there, and I was sleeping, and I felt like something was choking me. And I was like trying to gasp for breath, and I thought, okay, I'm just dreaming. And I opened my eyes, and I try to wake up, because you know how you, when you're dreaming, you're trying to wake up. And I had my eyes open, and I'm looking around, and I still couldn't breathe. And something went, Michael, with my husband, with my elbow, and I'm hitting him. And finally, by the time I woke him up, it released. So I've been choked. And, this is numerous times of different things that have happened to me. I've been on top of my stairway, fixing to walk down the steps, and something screamed so loud, I almost fell down the steps. Finally, the last resort was when it woke me up again in a sleep. And when I was asleep, I said, all right, that's it. We've got to make peace. And I came down the steps, and I got my meters, and I got my other meters. I said, what do you want? Let's talk. And the meters went off, and we talked, and we made peace. And we talked, and I'm not going to express exactly what we said, but ever since then, it hasn't hurt me.
Well, now,
as long
now what,
it doesn't hurt me, I'm fine.
Did it give you a name as to who, what the name
well,
is?
Well, I've got several in here now. But, yeah, I got one name. One name is Roy. And then I've got a guy that I know for a fact that is a colonel that I got a picture of him, and he is from the homestead, and he was the owner of the plantation. And he was the owner of the plantation. And I think he might have been the guy that followed me home.
So you think?
And I don't know, I could be wrong, but I'm just get all these vibrations of what happened. Because I think I'm coming into my gifts of what's going on. And it's just weird how things happen, you know, and how he just doesn't want to go. And, you know, of course, you know, when this first happened, you know, I had gone to certain people and they were saying, yeah, you got this and you got that. And you have to be careful with that, too. Don't do that, because then people will scare you and they'll tell you all these other things. And before you know it, you get so confused, and then you're thinking, oh, no, you know. So just go with your own feelings, and just remember to walk with the light and God, and you'll be fine. And just do your own thing, because I had to go back from where I started when I was a little girl and when I saw my first spirit. And then I had to go back when I saw my dad and when my mom saw my dad. And then I had to realize, you know, I had gifts. Why am I listening to these other people? I have to go with my own gut and realize I can do good, and I am good. So I need to not think negative. Think positive, and I'll be fine. And that's what I'm doing.
I guess my question is when you found out you had this attachment, you made peace with this attachment, did it ever give you a reason as to why it was still there? I mean, did it ever say, I'm still here with you because of thus and so, or?
It's scared to go into the light. I know that, because there's a couple of things. In the olden days, they were taught not to go into the light, because they were taught that the light was like fire. In other words, the light was bad. Because in the olden days, the light was like more like evil versus good, you know, like fire, evil, and it was scared to go into the light because it was afraid. That's why it would say blurry, hot. You know, there it's afraid that if it goes into the light, it's going to be bad versus good. So that's why he won't go into the light. I have tried to send him into the light so many times. I just give up. He won't go. I got it on video. There's a video I've been wanting to play you that I got in my office where I tried to send him to the light where the K2s blew off red, and I was something for a prayer to send him to the light. And he said he would go, and he lied to me. My chair in my office moved by itself. And I got it on private, on my Facebook on private, where no one could see it because it's personal. But it's so private because I wanted somebody to see it, and because it moves. Well, I'm trying to find this prayer. You know, you can see the K2s are blowing red, you know, while he's, you know, while I'm talking, you know, he's blowing, and all of a sudden you see my chair just move by itself, my office chair, and it's heavy, and it just moves. It's better than ghost hunting stuff.
So, well, you've got some video up on the internet on YouTube. If a person goes to YouTube and then types in your name, Valley Rojas, which is ValleyRojas, YouTube in the search, the videos that you have up there will come up, and then they can look at those.
Yes, they can, and I would love it if they would subscribe to them, and they could see all of them. I have I think I got like 12 of them there, or they can go to the website, which is Earthbound Spirit Hunters. It's www.earthboundspirithunters.com.
Earthboundspirithunters.com.
Yes.
Is the website. Earthboundspirithunters, one word, .com.
Yes, sir.
And then on YouTube, you can just simply put in her name, Valley, V-A-L-L-I-E, and then Rojas, R-O-J-A-S, and that will take you there. And by all means, subscribe to her videos. That way you can... I don't know what that means. Does that mean they get like a notice when you put a new one up, or?
Well, it just makes you more popular, and then that way you can go a little bit further ahead in YouTube, and you get to be seen more often. You know, because if you're not being subscribed to, you're way back in the files.
Uh-huh.
You know, if you're not being seen, you know, if you're not popular, so you don't get seen that much. You don't pop up as much. You know, so if you subscribe to my videos, more people will want to see them, and then you go up ahead.
You're listening to Radio Disclosure. Our guest this week, Valley Rojas, and we'll be right back right after this. As a shortwave radio listener, you know there's no such thing as a good indoor antenna. If you're looking for an antenna that allows you to pull in those distant signals and also gets rid of the atmospheric noise, you need a good outdoor antenna. But in a lot of cases, folks can't have an outdoor antenna. Now you can. Transworld Antennas is the name of the company. The website is transworldantennas.com. Go to their site and check out the TW2010. Or the 4040, or the 8080, for that matter. These are all antennas that will increase the sensitivity of your shortwave radio. It gets the antenna that receives outside of the indoor environment, away from electrical noise, the pops and cracks and things that go on inside a building, and they hide. The TW2010 just literally disappears wherever you put it. Folks don't see it, and it's a good antenna for your receiver. It's a good match for any shortwave radio. If you're having difficulty pulling in those distant signals, or if you're looking for a portable antenna that you can take with you wherever you go, you want it to be low profile, you want it to be stealth, where you can set it up and nobody really knows it's an antenna, this is the antenna for you. Go to the website, transworldantennas.com. That's transworldantennas.com. And get a TW2010, a 4040, or an 8080, whichever model best suits your receiving needs. You'll be glad you did. TransworldAntennas.com. If you're the decision maker for any form of outdoor lighting, you're going to want to listen to this. The Light Pack Systems induction lights, manufactured in the USA by a severely disabled workforce, uses a unique physical principle of light generation. This lamp system is therefore classified in a new family of sources, the Light Pack Induction Lamp Systems. Light Pack Induction Lighting is a breakthrough for professional, general, and special lighting applications. Not only because of its high luminescence and efficiency, but especially because of its unprecedented lifetime. System lifetime is rated at 100,000 hours, or about 20 years, based on 5,000 burning hours per year. With a failure rate of less than 10%. With this unmatched durability, LightPack offers substantial savings in direct maintenance costs as well as indirect costs. Induction lighting is relatively new in the United States, but it's proven technology developed in Europe over 20 years ago. Therefore, claims of durability is based on real-world empirical data, as opposed to estimated design life provided by competitive lighting technologies such as LED. LightPack Systems was founded on the principles of green solutions for modern lighting through strong partnerships with the U.S. military, the University of Central Florida, and several national energy service companies. LightPack offers lighting solutions that provide a better quality of light with a 66% energy savings, also lasting up to 5 times longer than standard lighting options. LightPack's quality shines through with their standard 10-year warranty on all products. Call today for your free demonstration. Go to their website, lightpacksystems.com. That's lightpacksystems.com, spelled LitePackSystems, lightpacksystems.com. Is it possible that a coffee roaster who has been blind from birth could make the best tasting coffee in the world? Well, I'm here to tell you that not only is it possible, but it's true. If you would like the most delightful, rich cup of coffee you have ever drank in your life, I'd like to invite you to visit the website of The Unseen Bean. That's The Unseen Bean, UNSEENBEAN. TheUnseenBean.com. Jerry Leary, amateur radio operator, shortwave listener, he is the owner of The Unseen Bean, one of the country's few blind coffee roasters. You will love his coffee. We want to invite you once again, go to his website, and that's TheUnseenBean.com. That's TheUnseenBean.com. Are you needing a place to put up a website? Have you looked around? You want to do something that's easy, that's simple, and very, very inexpensive, but yet looks professional? Are you having troubles with your computer? Do you need some tech support help? Are you tired of being connected to India every time you pick up the telephone to get some help on a machine or on a website? The people to call is tux-support.com. That's tux-support.com. T-U-X, like tuxedo, dash support, the word support.com. These are the people to call. They can get you going. It won't cost you an arm and a leg. You can afford to work with these folks. They're professionals. They answer in plain English, and they can help you do things from a very, very basic, simple standpoint. If you have something that you want to do that's a complex project, well, they can handle that as well. But if you're like I am, when you're trying to put something up on the web or you need help with a computer, you really want somebody that speaks English. And you want it to be simple, and you don't want to have to pay an arm and a leg for it. And you want to deal with some good folks. Go to their website, tux-support.com. That's tux-support.com. Something new at Radio Disclosure. We have been collecting items of interest, something that you might want. And once a month, we are going to have a drawing and give away some of these items of interest. Now, if you'd like to get your name in the hat, write us an email. Go to radiodisclosure.com. That's radiodisclosure.com. Shoot us an email. And tell us a little bit about yourself, and tell us that you're interested in the items of interest. We're going to do a drawing once a month, and several people that listen to Radio Disclosure are going to get something really cool. We look forward to hearing from you. Go to our website, radiodisclosure.com, and send us an email. And keep listening, and tell your friends about Radio Disclosure. This is Radio Disclosure. And now, back to our special guest, Valley Rojas. Well, now, you did an investigation in Middle Tennessee at this, what is the hotel at Red Boiling Springs?
Thomas House.
The Thomas House, okay.
Yes.
And tell us about that investigation. Tell us how that went.
Oh, that was great. I got an apparition. I was really amazed. I couldn't believe it. I got me an apparition behind a twin bed, and I believe it was a little girl named Sarah. And I was stunned because I saw it, and I tried to keep my composure, and I did really good. But when I saw it, I almost slipped out because when I saw it, I saw it as I was taping it. And I wanted to stop it and rewind, but I thought maybe I would get some more, so I let it go because, you know, it was with my little handheld Sony camera that was on a tripod. And we had just gone down, just three of us, just to see if we can get anything. And then that's what we normally do, you know. Usually we take three first, you know, my sister and I and another one, you know, because we were the founders, and we would investigate first to see if there's anything there, and then we'll take the team, and then we'll take the big DVR system. And we went down there, and sure enough, I set, you know, a couple of cameras up with infrared lights, and as I was in one of the rooms trying to get some EVPs and stuff, and see the Thomas House, the neat thing about that place is that it's an old hotel from the 1800s. It used to be called the Clyde Hotel. And the owners, they had some children there, and one of the children, it was a little girl named Sarah, and she had died there. She had perished there. And she died from some kind of stomach infection of some sort. And when she perished, they had not known the age of her when she died. And because in the library of the records, the original records had burned down in Red Bowling Springs. So they haven't got any death record of her death, of how old she was. So they're estimating her death around 6 to 12 years old. That's what they're estimating. So when we were down there, I caught this apparition behind the twin bed, and I got a voice of her saying that she was 7 years old. So all the way around, it was wonderful. We went down there, I got the apparition the first time, and then I took the team down there, and then I got her voice saying she's 7 years old. So I was really happy about that place. It's a wonderful place, and the owners are great. I mean, they treat ghost hunters like we're gold, any paranormal investigators. I mean, you know, if they don't have anyone there, they'll let you have the whole run of the place to investigate. They're just wonderful people. And I felt really so good there. And they do have paranormal activity. I mean, it is confirmed that people have perished there. So you do have paranormal activity. So I do say it's a plus to go there. And the activity there is real because they don't have any electronic devices in the rooms. They don't even have a clock in a room. They have no TVs in the room and no radios. So you have no electronic devices. Therefore, what readings you're going to get will be good. So I highly suggest the Thomas House. It's a good place.
Well, let me ask you this. I mean, you go in. Now, there's been other paranormal investigative teams that have gone in there prior to you going in.
Yes, they have.
And they were able to get, I assume they were able to get some sort of evidence themselves in the process of their investigation. So how many teams do you think could go in a place, you know, one right after another or following one
you
another?
You know, that's funny, Ted. You know, I think it's like this. I think certain ghosts or spirits, I think they're attracted to certain people. Because it's like this, it's so weird, every time I go somewhere, if there's a spirit there, I think it depends on who you are. Because, I don't know, but for some reason, I always say this, whenever a spirit comes to me, they let me know what they want me to know. I don't ever claim to be psychic or gifted or anything. I always say, if they want me to know something or if I feel them, it's because they want me to. Otherwise, I'm not going to claim anything. And usually, I get stuff. I get stuff all the time. And I think it's because, you know, my mother, my grandfather was Cherokee. And my grandfather used to chant Cherokee, and I think it has to do something with the land. You know, the land was Cherokee land, too, at the Thomas House. I think it all has to be, you know, go around. My mother used to be clairvoyant. She used to be able to know things, you know, before it happened. She used to call it, she used to say the little bird told her, you know. And I just think that certain spirits are attracted to me. And I think that it's the same with certain ghost hunters. I think you're able to go in there and certain ghosts or spirits are attracted to you. And you're like I think it's just the way you are. Ghosts are just, spirits just like you. And that's the difference between one team and another. They just like your magnetism. They just want to come to you. And they want to be with you. And that's what it is. And I think that's what makes it, that makes you different from anybody else, you know, and they want you to help them. They want you to say what they want to express. And that's what it is.
Well, I guess I've thought to myself about this, and I've thought, well, if there's been 12 investigative teams come into a place, it just seems that if you're the 13th or 14th, you're probably not going to get the activity that the first team or the second team got, is what I'm thinking. Now, you think that's a false assumption? Do you think that's, or do you think that the activity that goes on is just eternal, so it doesn't matter how many people come in and get evidence?
Well, I don't know. I look at it this way. When we went to the Thomas House, Paranormal State had just left there with some kind of conference or whatever when Peggy and I and Veronica, my daughter, went. And I had just got that apparition. So what does that tell you? I didn't even know Paranormal State had just left. And that's what Evelyn, she owns the place. She had just told me. And she showed me the picture of Paranormal State. They had a post by the pool. And she showed me the picture. And I went, oh, my God, you're kidding me. And then she didn't tell me, but when I went home and I started showing her some pictures that I had gotten before I showed her the apparition, I said, Evelyn, I got this. What do you think? I picked up on a feeling of a boy in the hallway. And she said, you pick up on a boy? I said, yeah. She said, you know what? You and Chip Coffee are the only ones that have picked up on a boy.
That's interesting.
Now, I'm not claiming I'm a psychic, but it's awful funny that you know, I picked up on the same thing that he did.
Well, you also went on another investigation here not too long ago at some folks' house that are part of the Nashville Paranormal Group. Tell me a little bit about that. What did you all set up, and what happened?
Oh, it was really good. I went with a really good team. They're called Past Paranormal. And I tell you what, Ressa is the founder, and Marlene, I'm not sure if she's a founder or not, but they're wonderful. They're just wonderful. And a guy named Wolf, and we went to a location, and oh my goodness, yeah, there was so much activity. I felt it. I was like, oh Lord. Ressa had set up her infrared cameras downstairs where the activity was mainly happening in the basement, and there was so much static and stuff going on. I was like, oh Lord. it was exciting. I was like, okay, what is that? But then we started doing some readings. You know, she had her reading, she had that black box. I can't remember the name of it. I just went blank. But anyhow, the readings were jumping off the charts. And I went down there, and I use a ghost box, usually. I use the obelisk one, and then I use K2s and all that stuff. But when I did the obelisk, she has one too. Her obelisk wouldn't say a word. But when I cut my obelisk on, all of a sudden her obelisk started talking. And then they started having a conversation between each other, just like they were old friends.
Goodness gracious. Now that sounds weird.
It was. I was like, hello, guys. Can I get in on a conversation? And then my obelisk said, not. And you heard that last night, Ted. The night before last when I talked to you, remember? Heard the obelisk say, not. I was like, hello, not. But they were talking back and forth, bantering to each other. And I was like, oh, my gosh. Now, I'm telling you something about this obelisk thing. Normally, an obelisk is trained or programmed with a certain amount of words. You know the history of these obelisks. You know, a lot of people disclaim them. You know, a lot of people say, well, you know, they only say things randomly, blah, blah, blah. I look at it this way. I've had it just ramble. I've had it just talk bull crap, blah, 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 you know. But, you know, when I get in contact with a spirit, it talks, and I mean it talks, and it makes sense, it makes conversations, it gives warnings, it says names, and it's not programmed to do those things. That's when you know that you are definitely in contact with a spirit. And that's the difference between the obelisk in contact with the spirit versus the obelisk just rambling, off words, spitting them out. Those are the two differences. And that's all I will say in defense of the obelisk.
Of course, all these devices are subject to, you know, environmental things. They're subject to the actual operator of the unit. And then, it's almost like they're not. I would not call them a foolproof device. It's not something that is going to work every time, all the time, perfectly.
Right.
But
I agree.
And there's a whole lot about the. About investigating paranormal that leaves things wide open because
you don't always have skeptics. I mean, people are always going to disclaim things. I mean, it's a part of it, you know, and it really is a shame because there's such a small amount of people that try so hard to prove beyond the benefit of a doubt that there is paranormal activity. You know, we try so hard to prove, yes, this is real, this is truth, you know, please, you know, look what we got, you know. And it's just so hard, and we invest so much time and effort and honesty to prove that we are so sincere in what we do. And, you know, it's really hard when you got so many people out there just want to just put you down. It's like, this ain't real, you know. And you have to really realize that, you know, there's a lot of us out there are really honest, and we're old people, man, and we're just out there doing it for nothing, you know. We're putting on money, hard money in it, and we're not making a penny. We're not even asking to make a penny. We just want to prove to you that we want to help you, and we're just doing it because we believe in it. That's all.
Well, there's always the diehard skeptic, but don't you think a lot of the folks that are just real anti ghosts and anti-UFOs and anti-everything, don't you think to a great extent that that's just because they're afraid? They are so afraid that if they were to admit or open their mind up to where they can actually see the evidence, that it would scare them crazy.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's why I thought if I was able to show them that it's not something to be scared of, that if you was able to relax and not get scared, that maybe you then would be okay, that once you know you're on your deathbed, that you wouldn't be scared because you would see your mom, you would see your dad, you would see your grandma. Because I don't know about you, Ted, but I always had that fear and I always had that problem because a lot my youngest children, one of my child when she was younger, she went to a church and she had been baptized when she was a baby in a Catholic church, and that was, you know, that was great. But she went to this church, other church, and I ain't going to say what church it is, but they had told her, and they didn't know she'd been baptized already, but they told her she was going to go to hell if she hadn't been baptized. She came home crying. Oh, Mom, I'm going to go to hell. I was like, why? You're not going to go to hell, honey. Yeah, I haven't been baptized. I said, honey, you've been baptized. You was baptized when you was a baby. You're fine, you know. And that's what's wrong with society. People are so scared about what's going to happen when they die because they're being taught when they're children that they're going to go to hell. And see, that's what I think's what's wrong with people now. They're so scared if they see a spirit that they're going to be condemned, you know, and that things are so bad, nothing but evil. You know, they need to know that there's nothing wrong with seeing a spirit. It could be your mama. It could be your daddy. Come to see you. Come to, you know, say hi. I love you.
Well, let me ask this question in regards to ghost groups and people getting involved in ghost hunting. How many people do you think, or do you think there is a percentage of people that get into it because they want attention, they want to draw attention to themselves, they may even alter the evidence
oh, God.
In order to make it look as if that they're on to something or to gain the attention of other people? I mean, have you experienced any of that at all?
Well, I hope I haven't. I don't know. I would pray. I haven't seen any of it. If I ever see anybody do that, and if I do see that, I will bust them so fast. I'm on the Internet all the time, And I have a lot of friends, and if I ever see anybody falsifying anything, I don't care who you are, I'm going to bust you because I'm not rich. I don't have, I'm not successful. I don't have a TV show. I don't have any of that. But if I think you're doing it, I'm going to tell everybody. And I don't care who you are. I mean, you know, if I had to get a lawyer, I'd get a lawyer. But I will bust you because I think it's wrong. Because, you know, it's hard enough for people like us in the paranormal field to try to prove that there is spirits out there. But if you're falsifying this stuff and you're going to make us look bad that's trying so hard, oh, yeah, I'm going to bust you.
I've heard that some of the TV shows really stretch it. I mean, they really stretch it with some of the EVPs and things. Some of that stuff is not real.
That'd be bad. That would break my heart, you know. I don't know what they do. I would pray that they didn't. You know, it really amazes me that when I've always watched the paranormal shows, and it really amazes me that years ago, I used to watch them and I'd never see crap. And now I always see stuff. It is amazing how it did change. Because I know when I go on investigations, I don't always get stuff. I mean, I went on investigation a couple of months ago. Well, I guess in December, my sister and I had to go to this other place, and this guy for sure thought he had something, and thank God he didn't. But I couldn't find anything. Only thing I got was something weird in the bedroom one time, and I got this weird picture, but that wasn't enough. You know, just like a person said, when in doubt, throw it out, and I had to, you know, because it really wasn't enough, you know what I'm saying? So I'm like that, you know. I've got to have enough evidence to really think there's something to give them, and it wasn't. So I had to let it go, you know. So that's what I'm saying. It just wasn't enough.
Well, I guess the other thing I was talking about, and is when the attention is on the investigation,
yeah,
and the attention is on gathering evidence, if there is evidence there, then things are in the right perspective. But in some of the ghost groups, I'm just saying folks shouldn't get discouraged. If you run into people who are, you know, who are in it just to gain attention to themselves, if you follow what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. You're going to have people like that, and you just have to overlook that and just keep true to yourself and be positive and remember who you are. You know, remember you're the person that's going to make the difference. You know, because you're going to have to outshine and be yourself, you know, because at the end, you're going to be the one that is going to show everyone that, hey, I am the one that's going to say, hey, this is the real stuff. This is the spirit, and this is what my heart feels. Go with your heart. Go with your gut and go with your feelings. And I guarantee you, the spirits will always come to you. Because you don't have to go around saying, you know, I think the spirit is here. I think, no, you don't ever think. Because I always say this, the spirit will let me know whether or not it wants to make communication. Because, you know, I don't think I have anything other than what they want me to have. Because I'm not going to be stupid and say, yeah, I can do this, I can do that. Because, it all happens when it happens. I put it that way. You know, some people are really good at it, and they get it like that. I don't. Maybe I'm a late bloomer. But I say be positive and just go with your heart and be honest. Be very honest and learn. I'm always learning. I'm a late bloomer, but I'm still learning.
Well, I guess because of the prominence of the ghost hunting groups today and the groups that are growing and the increasing number of television shows, that the folks
There's
that are
a lot
very
of young talent out there, a lot of young talent.
Folks that are really interested in investigating and finding evidence. Now, one of the things that I found in the local groups in Nashville here is that everybody that I've met, with the exception of just a few, most of which are not very experienced. They haven't been out on a lot of investigations, but they're just so curious and they want to learn.
Yeah.
And of course, that kind of makes them pray for what you would consider to be maybe a senior ghost investigator or who has people perceive to be a senior ghost investigator. it kind of makes them pray for those folks to be used, taken advantage of, and it looks like there's like a control thing. In other words, it's like you have one person that wants to control another group of people. or wants to be that center of attention there. And the only thing I'm saying is I've witnessed that myself, and I think that once you spot that,
yeah,
it's a good thing to just move away from that, get away from that kind of an environment. Because
yeah, I was
people,
in that environment myself.
People, people who are really wanting to investigate, you're going to feel real hamstrung in a situation like that. You're going to feel real restricted, and you're going to get your feelings hurt because the people that are that way, I guess I want to say, they're once again they're out for attention. They want to gather attention. You know, they want their picture in the newspaper. They want, you know, somebody.
You're right, Ted. You're right. They want to be a star. They want to be what they see on TV. They want all the right. They want to be an investigator for all the wrong reasons. You know, it don't have anything to do with ghosts.
That that is just nothing but an invitation to a heartache.
Uh-huh.
You know, and you could really lose your interest in the subject matter.
Yeah.
If you get beat up enough.
You're right. That's what really kills me about the whole thing is, you know, I'm an older woman, and my husband, you know, he makes the money, and I'm spending it. I'm spending on all this stuff because I'm just so wrapped up. I mean, I never even worked a computer until like 3 years ago, and I spent like 10 hours a day in there, you know, just working and working and working and learning 3 or 4 years, you know, just wood chipping. And I got it all down, you know. And now I design a website. I design my movies. I work my movies. I put everything on my website. I work all of my EVPs. I did it all. And that's called, I am so strung into this, you know. I'm just like, I eat, sleep, and drink it. You know, it's like my destiny. It's like a calling. You know, and I can't stop. You know, it's I'm just driven, and it's like I don't know what else to do. You know, I just can't stop anymore, Ted. You know, it's like God cut me on, and I can't be cut off.
But
it's like a light bulb.
You're listening to Radio Disclosure. Our guest this week, Valley Rojas, and we'll be right back right after this. If you're the decision maker for any form of outdoor lighting, you're going to want to listen to this. The Light Pack Systems induction lights, manufactured in the USA by a severely disabled workforce, uses a unique physical principle of light generation. This lamp system is therefore classified in a new family of sources, the Light Pack induction lamp systems. Light Pack induction lighting is a breakthrough for professional, general, and special lighting applications, not only because of its high luminescence and efficiency, but especially because of its unprecedented lifetime. System lifetime is rated at 100,000 hours, or about 20 years, based on 5,000 burning hours per year. With a failure rate of less than 10%. With this unmatched durability, LightPack offers substantial savings in direct maintenance costs as well as indirect costs. Induction lighting is relatively new in the United States, but it's proven technology developed in Europe over 20 years ago. Therefore, claims of durability is based on real-world empirical data, as opposed to estimated design life provided by competitive lighting technologies such as LED. LightPack Systems was founded on the principles of green solutions for modern lighting through strong partnerships with the U.S. military, the University of Central Florida, and several national energy service companies. LightPack offers lighting solutions that provide a better quality of light with a 66% energy savings, also lasting up to 5 times longer than standard lighting options. LightPack's quality shines through with their standard 10-year warranty on all products. Call today for your free demonstration. Go to their website, lightpacksystems.com. That's lightpacksystems.com, spelled LitePackSystems, lightpacksystems.com. Since the beginning of time and across the history of radio broadcasting, there's only one radio station that has ever earned a full-length documentary dedicated totally and completely to its rise to a pinnacle never before achieved by any radio station, and its fall. This is a story of what happened when the most legendary programming genius of all time takes the reins
of an obscure Canadian radio station in the small city of Windsor, Canada, and creates a radio legend that rocked the Motor City, the USA, and half a continent.
That does it for Big Tom Rivers, 1971, and Hank O'Neill starts a brand new year next at CKLW. For the last time this year, I will say to you, rock on, mother!
Ladies and gentlemen, the beat goes on.
CKLW.
2020 news guys, they were disc jockeys without music. Bum, bum, bum. And everybody knew that something was going to happen. You knew something was going to happen.
Motor City Mayor Roman Gribbs has a mad on for an unidentified rapist, a butcher knife-wielding pervert cornered a secretary in the elevator at Detroit City County Building and rode her to a vacant seventh floor and proceeded to sexually assault her. Guards are now being considered for future surveillance of the crime-stained seventh floor. Lee Marshall, 2020 News.
Now, Markham Street Productions takes you there as you relive the rise and fall of
the Big HCKLW, the Motor City.
You can now own your own copy of this new DVD documentary, Radio Revolution, The Rise and Fall of the Big 8 from Markham Street Productions. The special edition DVD of this award-winning feature-length documentary includes extra scenes, outtakes, photos, and special features. Radio Revolution, The Rise and Fall of the Big 8 is now available for only $29.95 plus shipping. Go to RadioRevolutionDVD.com. That's RadioRevolutionDVD.com. Order now while supply lasts. RadioRevolutionDVD.com. That's RadioRevolutionDVD.com.
And the hits just keep on coming.
CKLW. The Motor City.
Is it possible that a coffee roaster who has been blind from birth could make the best tasting coffee in the world? Well, I'm here to tell you that not only is it possible, but it's true. If you would like the most delightful, rich cup of coffee you have ever drank in your life, I'd like to invite you to visit the website of The Unseen Bean. That's The Unseen Bean, UNSEENBEAN. TheUnseenBean.com. Jerry Leary, amateur radio operator, shortwave listener, he is the owner of The Unseen Bean, one of the country's few blind coffee roasters. You will love his coffee. We want to invite you once again, go to his website, and that's TheUnseenBean.com. That's TheUnseenBean.com. As a shortwave radio listener, you know there's no such thing as a good indoor antenna. If you're looking for an antenna that allows you to pull in those distant signals and also gets rid of the atmospheric noise, you need a good outdoor antenna. But in a lot of cases, folks can't have an outdoor antenna. Now you can. Transworld Antennas is the name of the company. The website is transworldantennas.com. Go to their site and check out the TW2010. Or the 4040, or the 8080 for that matter. These are all antennas that will increase the sensitivity of your shortwave radio. It gets the antenna that receives outside of the indoor environment, away from electrical noise, the pops and cracks and things that go on inside a building, and they hide. The TW2010 just literally disappears wherever you put it. Folks don't see it. And it's a good antenna for your receiver. It's a good match for any shortwave radio. If you're having difficulty pulling in those distant signals, or if you're looking for a portable antenna that you can take with you wherever you go, you want it to be low profile, you want it to be stealth, where you can set it up and nobody really knows it's an antenna, this is the antenna for you. Go to the website, transworldantennas.com. That's transworldantennas.com. And get a TW2010, a 4040, or an 8080, whichever model best suits your receiving needs. You'll be glad you did. TransworldAntennas.com. But you were in a situation there for a while, and that's one of the reasons I brought this up, because I think everyone that does this is going to go through this to some degree. Hopefully not, But you had gone through a situation where you were almost ready to throw in the towel.
You're thinking,
this is it, you know. But see, the whole thing was is that you needed to be around a group of people who were really genuinely wanting to investigate and really genuinely wanting to do something. They weren't. In other words, you needed around people who were not trying to win a popularity contest.
Yeah, or I needed to be around positive. That's what I was saying. It feels so good to be. That's why a while ago when I told you, I said, be around positive people, you know, positive energy, you know, because that's what makes you happy in your heart, you know, and you feel good and you feel just electrified, you know what I'm saying? And you could be yourself, you know. You don't have this negativity. You don't have this gloom, you know, because, you know, you feed off of each other. And that's what you need. And then you can grow and you can just blossom and then you feel good and then you can just, no telling how far you can go and no telling what you can get. And then the spirits will want to come to you because then they feed off the energy and then they'll want to see you and be with you.
Because you're dealing with the spirit world.
Exactly.
You really have to deal. You really have to deal with an honest heart. And I mean, because they know. I mean, they know what kind of person you are, and they know what's going on. So you have to deal with an honest heart. So if you're stepping into this arena for any other than pure reasons of investigating and helping people and being a part of something, if you're in it for anything else,
that's right.
You're cruising for a bruising.
Well, that's just like when I was denying the spirit in my house, he was messing with me. Until I made peace with him, then he made peace with me. See what I'm saying? It's the same way when you investigate. It's the same way when you meet other groups and you get that charge back and you find the right people to investigate and you get the negative people away from you and you get the right people to hang with and to regroup with. Then you're ready to go. And no telling where you can go and how far you can go. Because you're not trying to win a popularity contest. You're not trying to be a star. You're trying to do what you want to do. And that is discover spirits and to help them. And that's what you're trying to do. That's all.
Well, I guess the other thing is that negative energy, if you're in this thing for the wrong reasons, chances are you're going to invite things from the dark side in.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
And that's going to cause all kind of other problems. But the reason why I say this is I think that it's very possible that or when you're dealing with this kind of thing, you'd be very careful of the people that are in a group that you're associating with. They have to be very, very positive. They have to be above board. They have to be above scuttlebutt. They have to be above rumors. And they have to be above manipulation and control and all these kind of issues. Or else you're going to have, the terminology I'm thinking of? You're going to have bad. Bad juju or whatever. You're going to have bad stuff. Yeah. Bad stuff.
I know. Bad karma.
So.
Demon harvesters.
There you go. So. Now you went out to this place and did this investigation. There was a question I was going to ask you about. Now, when you were out there, did you use any of the infrared type things, or what were you using out there?
Well, let me tell you, I use my infrared camera, and it's really good. The one I have is a new one, and as I was recording, I saw that I was getting some really good footage, and I knew I was getting some good footage. But for some reason, my camera, the battery went dead really fast. It didn't last long. And my battery, it has capabilities of recording at least 9 hours. We weren't there, I bet, no longer than maybe 3 hours the most. And it went dead. And I was like, that was really strange because I know I didn't record 3 hours worth, but it went dead. And I thought, well, you know, that's enough anyhow, you know. And then when, after we finished, you know, I'll make this camera part short. When we got home, as we drove in the driveway, I hit my automatic garage door opener, and my friend and I, that she went with me, we came into my garage, and I opened the garage, and we came in. I cut the car off, and I hit my truck to open up. As I the trunk opened up, everything in my neighborhood, all electricity, went dead. Everybody lost power in our neighborhood for at least, I guess, 30 seconds to a minute. And I looked at my friend, and I said, oh, what did we do? What did we bring back with us? Because it was really strange that that happened, because it happened the moment I hit the truck to open. We lost power.
Well,
And then, of course, it came back on. But then when I tried to download the whatever I got on my camera, I had nothing. It was blank. I did not get any footage. It was completely blank. That camera is an excellent camera. In fact, that camera is like maybe a $1,400 camera. You know, it records in HD. It's a 1080p. You know, it's a great camera. You know, it's new. I mean, it's wonderful. And I got great footage off of that camera. And there was no reason not to have any footage. So something prevented me from getting, you know, any footage. And I really would like to go back and try it again.
Well, do you think do you think that when you hit the trunk button and all the power went out in the neighborhood, do you think that was connected somehow? I mean, do you believe there's...
No, because it was portable. I mean, it was a battery and it was in a case. There's no reason that it would die. You know what I'm saying? There's no reason that it would interfere with it at all because it wasn't connected to anything. You know, it was a portable battery.
No, no. I meant when you got back and you pulled into the garage and you hit the button to open your trunk, and you said as soon as you did that, all the power went out in the neighborhood for 2 or 3 minutes. I'm saying, do you think that was connected with your investigation somehow?
Oh, well, Ted, I don't know. I mean, think about it. What do you think? I mean, what made all the power go out in the whole neighborhood? It was awful suspicious. I mean, we're talking about, like, we didn't get home till like 3:30 in the morning, and all of a sudden, all the power cut off at that moment? We both looked at each other and was like, whew. You know, but only me. Things happen, too, like that. You know, we had to get up, get out, run, what?
It does sound real suspicious. It sounds real suspicious to me.
You know, these things, I mean, I could write a book on this stuff. You know, this stuff could be book material. Because in a way, it's kind of funny, but in a way, it's kind of scary, too, you know? It's like, heebie-jeebie stuff. But it's real stuff. I mean, it really happened. I got verification from my friend. She and I looked at each other like, oh, shit. Now what? But yeah, it happened, and then I didn't have any footage. I had no footage on my camera, you know. And then also at Marlene's house, I'm sorry, didn't mean to mention the name, but the steps that the familiar steps. I didn't know about the history of it. I was sitting on a step, on the lower part of the step, and I was sitting there while Ressa was using her ghost box. Because we'd already used mine, and I was sitting there for a second, and for some reason, I got pushed, and I hit my butt hit the floor, and I was like, "Did I miss a step?" And then I realized I wouldn't try to sit down. I was already sitting down. Something knocked me on my butt, and I was like, "Dang, what happened to me?" And then I found out that happened to her mother also. Something pushed her off the steps, but I didn't even know the history of the steps. But I forgot to tell you, I got knocked on my butt off the steps, too. So she definitely got some stuff there. I don't know what the heck it is, but it knocked me on my butt, too. I forgot to tell you about that.
Well, now, were you able to...
I got a pretty big butt. But, yeah, I fell on my butt, too.
were you able to gather any information there in regards to who or what could be there in the way of a spirit?
Well,
or what,
yes.
What were you able to...
I don't know his real name. But through my ghost box, we got a name, a guy's name. And I'm going to put another video out. And through my ghost box, his name came out. And then we went through his history. They had done they had gone to the library and pulled up the desks that were around that area, within a block radius of that house. And the name we got out of that ghost box that I hadn't got on video yet, it was so long. The name that we got out was one of the desks that he pulled out of the library, and it was to the name exact. And we was able to see his picture, his name, everything. And we also found out that the woman that was hung in a tree, we found her name. I mean, they know, well, they're going to look and see what her name is. But we heard on the ghost box the woman's name, and we also heard who the little girl that got killed by her father, too. She was thrown in the well. We found out who her name was, but we're going to look it up and see if we can verify that, too. But we heard those two names, but we don't know confirming whether or not that is accurate. But the one name that we did hear on the ghost box, we were able to confirm that because they had already done the history on that one name. But we did hear it through the ghost box. So we were like, wow, we already confirmed that one. So they're supposed to do a library search of the history of the death of the other two names that we got through the ghost box of the tree. Because, see, there was a man, a father that hung his wife and threw his daughter down the well. And those are the other two names that we got through the ghost box. And we're going to see if we can find out what those names are and see if they confirm the names we got through the ghost box. But the other name that we got was confirmed.
Now, when you're working with this thing called a ghost box, for folks that are listening that don't know what this is, tell them a little bit about it.
Well, the creator, I think you know his name. It goes back. A friend of mine made me mine, which is a transistor radio. But the
you're talking about
what was his name again?
You're talking about Frank Sumption. Frank Sumption, yes. And Frank's box is what you're talking about.
Right. Yeah, he's the original creator. But the one I have made more of a transistor radio type version of it. And then a friend of mine, he made me mine, and he was trying to help me try to figure out what kind of spirit I had at my home when I first realized I had an attachment. And that was Jeff Resman. And he made me mine, and he was going to try to help me to see if I can get rid of this attachment a long time ago. And anyhow, it's called a ghost box. And what you do is that you cut it on, and it scans AM and FM. And as it scans, you know, you have it hooked up to some speakers, and you ask questions. It's kind of like a portal, maybe kind of like maybe what a Ouija board would be, maybe in a sense. But the difference is that as you're asking questions, it's going through all these transitions of radio stations. You hear white noise, static, white noise, and you'll hear voices pop in. And when you hear these voices, usually the voices are spirits, if you have them. And I can ask for a guide, or they usually ask you to ask for your guardian or, you know, your protector. And I asked for a protector, and I asked for Jeff's protector to protect me. And he came in, and he did. And I asked for certain people, and believe it or not, they came through, and they told me who they were. And I definitely got confirmation. And at this house where I was at, there's not hardly any radio stations active at all in that facility, around that area at all. So we didn't have hardly any static, you know what I'm saying? It was really quiet. So whenever anything came through, it was pretty clean. So that's why I was able to hear, and we were able to hear these things, you know, because when we tried at other places, it was just too loud, you know, too much, you know, of circuits and stations kicking in and stuff. But at this location, I guess because it was in the country, you didn't have that much frequency of other stations trying to key in. And I like to keep it on an AM frequency myself because you don't have to have that many stations trying to key in, you know. And that way, I just feel like it makes it easier for a spirit to plug in and say, hey, what's up, you know. Anyhow, but we got a lot of stuff, and it was really fruitful at that location, I guess maybe because it's so active. But that's what initially it does. It's supposed to enable the spirits to come through that ghost box like white noise.
Well, have you ever had one of these ghost box sessions where the ghost box is saying negative things or threatening things or getting nasty with you, so to speak?
Well, I tell you what, I haven't done it that much, Ted, because I was always hesitant and a little scared of it. Because, like I said, when I got it, I was, you know, I was told it's like a portal, and you have to make sure you know what you're doing. And I was always told when you do it, you make sure you have a guide, and make sure you close the portal door when you cut it off. You know, you just don't flip it off. You know, you make sure you tell them, say, I'm home. Take them back out. Bring them in. You take them back out. Because it's, you know, it's just like those kids who get those Ouija boards, you know. That's not good. You know, you make sure that they stay away from that. I don't think it's good. I'm sorry, but I don't. You know, it's the same thing with the ghost box. I don't like to play around with that unless you make sure you close that portal up. You know, you let spirits in, you make sure they go back out, and you close it, and you close it good. Because I just feel like this, you know, if you're going to open that door up, you got to make sure you close that door. And if I keep opening that door and I start hearing something bad, I'm not going to open that door up again in that ghost box. You know what I'm saying? And it all depends on where you're at, you know. It's kind of scary, you know. So I haven't done it that much. You know, I like doing it, but I guess it could happen. I haven't heard it yet. But there again, Ted, like you said, maybe it depends on who you are as a person. Maybe you won't hear that stuff. But then again, I don't know. I've been lucky, I guess, or maybe I just haven't done it enough.
Well, I had heard stories that folks had turn these ghost boxes on, and that immediately something threatened them, you know, made a threatening remark or something. Of course, I've never heard anything like that, and I've really never heard any recordings.
I haven't either. I mean, knock on wood, but I haven't done it like maybe four times, five times at most. Like I said, I did it once. I'm not going to say it on the air. I'll tell you privately. I did do it one time, and I'll tell you privately off the air, but it wasn't negative. But I'll have to tell you on this story privately off the air. Because I wouldn't want my family to hear this story with the experience I did with the ghost box a while back. That's when I started doing it again, because otherwise I didn't do it. Because I told you I was very hesitant in doing it because I knew it's like a portal. It really is, because you cut it on and, ooh, you know. Because when you get spirits, because you're opening that box, you're letting people come in. And when they come in, you don't know what's going to come in. You have to make sure that you get your guide to come in, and you make sure your guide's going to get them back out. And you make sure they say, I'm home. And your guide says, I'm home. That means he's taking them out, and they're gone. Because you don't want nobody to stay. I ain't got enough. You know what I'm saying? I really firmly believe that.
Just another hungry mouth to feed if they stay with you there, you know?
Yeah, well, yeah, and especially if someone sneaks in that's not a nice person, you know what I'm saying? You have to make sure, you know, that they're nice, you know, and, you know, and like I said, especially if they're attracted to you to begin with, you know, and they feed off your energy, you know, because they could pick up on that, you know, they pick up on your energy, especially if you're a good person, you know. They like to hang out with you. They want to party.
So now, let me ask you this question. Prior to these investigations, what was you talked about Thomas House, you talked about the house that you just went to with a group. What other types of investigations have you done? Tell us about anything else that's going on that might have been unusual that you captured.
Either EVPs or pictures. I did an investigation in Madison one time in a house, and it was the first time I saw a shadow person that was very threatening. When I first went there, I didn't think it was really going to be all that, you know, because I thought, well, you know, I'm really not sure about this, you know. And then I set up my camera, and at that time I didn't have the expensive one. I only had the Sony, and I had got some infrared lights, you know, like Steve had put on the blog, you know, from Ghost Hunters. And I started videotaping. And as I was videotaping in the room where the person said they were having paranormal activity, I started seeing these weird lights shooting out of this closet because she was selling her home. She was like, that's it. I've had enough of this. And these lights started just shooting out. I mean, it was like fireworks. And at first I thought maybe it was an orb. Then I looked and I thought, it couldn't be an orb. That's not an orb, because the orbs are like round and they're like bubbles, you know what I'm saying? And an orb's not going to shoot like a fireworks, you know what I'm saying? And I was like, what in the heck? I was like, oh, my God, you know? And also, the screen, the color of the room changed. You know, like one minute it would be bright, next minute it turned dark, you know? And then I noticed in the dresser, because the room was pretty vacant except for a little white dresser, too, there's this mist of a ghostly object came out. But in that home, I saw a shadow in the living room, and when I looked down, this shadow, it was my first dark shadow that scared me dead. It looked like it was almost as tall as the living room, and I know it wasn't, but that's the way it looked, and it looked like it was going to charge me. And I felt threatened, because I was there, at that time I was there with just one other person, because we'd gone several times to that house. But we gone back just that night just to get a couple of things, you know, thinking we were going to pick up on something, you know, because they were still in the house. And at that time when I saw that shadow, I thought, you know, and I saw it, and I was like, oh, my God, you know. And then I realized it was going to charge me. And I thought, oh, I got to get this stuff out of here. And I had to keep my composure, because I knew if I had panicked, it would have. And that's when I took a picture, and I have it on my website. And you could see a face right behind me. And I took a picture of it, and you see it, a mirror. I mean, you see in the window a face right behind me. And it's the ugliest-looking man-like face. And I think a man had died there or something, because they found gravestones underneath the property of what it used to be a part of the cemetery that was across from that place. Anyhow, I had to get my composure and take the partner I had with me, not partner, but, you know, that was on the team, outside. I said, look, I saw a shadow. It's going to charge us. I said, we need to go back in, be cool, and say, oh, it's getting late. Let's get out of here. I said, we should have never came, just you and me. We should have came with the team, because it's dangerous now. And I knew, because it was bad. I mean, I almost passed out. My heart was beating so hard, I almost fainted. Because it was bad. It was mean looking. It was tall, and it was like it looked like probably like Bigfoot. That's how big it looked, and it looked like it was fixing to come at me any minute. And if it came charging at me, it would knock me down, knock my camera, everything. And I knew if I ran, it would tore up my camera. It would tore the shit out of it. Oh, pardon my language, but it would tore it up.
Well, let me ask you this question: Do you feel that this was a non-human spirit?
Yeah, I do. I think that if you look on my website and you look at House on Log Cabin Road and you see all those lights and stuff coming out of that closet was a portal. And all those lights that came out of there, I think that was spirits coming out of there. And I think that shadow was some kind of non-spirit thing that came out of there. And that's what was going to charge at me and was going to get me. Was coming after me, because we got the heck out of there. As soon as we got out of that house, I got the sage, and we saged our butts good.
What do you think is what do you think these they call them shadow people? What do you think shadow people are? People see these things. They see spirits, or they.
Well,
they
it all depends. It all depends. You know, some shadow people could be just spirits that just haven't been able to manifest all the way. You know, to a person, you know, to a light, to where you could see, or to you could see who it is. You know, some people, you know, it all depends if, you know, if the spirit had enough energy to become a face, you know, or a body, you know, or it could be a bad entity. It all depends, you know. A shadow person could be a bad entity, or it could be a person just wasn't able to completely materialize into a person, you know what I'm saying, to where you could see it. It all depends on what it is and where you're at and what's going on. You know, it all depends if it's a residual haunting or if it's an intelligent haunting. It all depends on the circumstances of where you're at and what's going on at that time.
But why a shadow? I mean, why would a spirit appear as a shadow? I've heard people talk about things
energy,
that they see
energy.
Dark, something dark running along the floor of their house. They'll see that. They'll see a dark, it looks like a dark face or something peeking around the corner.
I think a lot of times it's just energy. It's just them not being able to manifest. You know, that's the best they can get out. You know, it's energy. It takes a lot of energy sometimes for certain spirits to be able to get complete forms, you know, to get something going on. Just like when I caught that thing at Thomas' house. You know, I don't know what exactly it is, but I felt like it was Sarah. But it looked weird, you know. It popped up, popped down, popped up, popped down, and then it went towards the bathroom, you know. But did it look like a little girl? No. But it was like a spirit, you know.
And let me ask you this question. How much do you think goes on where a spirit or a ghost appears in a certain form, but they're actually tricking you? That's not really what it is. In other words, they pretend to be someone they're not.
Oh, well, you know what, Ted? I really couldn't tell you that. I really couldn't tell you that because I don't know. I really don't know because the way I feel is that I think spirits can trick you all the time. I always feel that in my heart. And the reason is because if you, when I go back to what I said before, we have to eat, drink, and rest. They don't. We know nothing about them. They know everything about us. Therefore, they could tell us anything, everything, and we would believe it. Because they know everything about us. We know nothing about them. They could tell us that they're this, they're that, they're that. And we go, okay, because we don't know anything about them. You know, so, you know, we have to go with what we believe in our heart. And we have to believe what God, you know, what God gives us, you know, and what we feel in our gut. And you have to pray that it's right.
And let me ask this question.
We're on the right path.
Could you go out on an investigation, okay, and conduct the investigation without any electronic devices, period? And if you could, how would you do that?
Oh, Lord. Well, Ted, I tell you what, I don't think I would do it. And the reason being is because I think if I went out on an investigation knowing what I know now after what I've been through, I wouldn't do it because there's so much out there that is so scary. I would be horrified to go out to a place without an electronic device because I don't want something to scare me without me not knowing it's there. Because I've had things scream in my ear, I've had things catch me off guard, and without an electronic device telling me that it's there, and I don't want to be caught off guard because I don't think my heart would take it. It's too scary. I mean, I I'm a ghost hunter, but I still get scared. Now, I ain't going to run, but I'm telling you, I don't think my heart would take it.
Well, what if you had somebody around?
Screams or yells, but I've experienced, I want my devices to tell me, it's coming up. You know, I'm not going to run, but if my devices tell me it's coming up, I want to be prepared that it's coming up.
What about
I don't want to go in there blindfolded.
What if you had someone that could do the arm thing, you know, and what if you had a psychic with you, a psychic that was
not
real
psychic, I'd be like, yeah, let's go. Let's go. If I knew the psychic was real, you know, if I knew the psychic was real, wasn't full of crap, then I'd be, yeah, let's go.
Well, the reason why I asked that is because what I was asking is, would you be willing to go out and do a ghost hunt, or would you conduct one without any electronic devices? In other words, group of people that go out, but they don't have any electronics with them. I'm just curious as to, because, you know, how did people do this 100 years ago? I wonder. Or could it?
Yeah.
Or could they even?
Yeah. Well, the only reason I would want to take some devices with me, like I said before, is just so I can record what I got, you know, so I can show people what I got. And see, the reason I recorded things here at the house was because when I came back from a conference, and they told me I had an attachment, I was like, oh, my gosh, you got a kidding, you know. And I came back home, and I, you know, and all of a sudden things started happening here at the house. I was like, gosh, what was that? What, you know. Now I started flipping out, and then I was like, okay, no one's believing me. And then this happened, that happened. I'm like, okay, this happened, no one's believing me. I thought, well, shoot, Valley, you got equipment. start doing it. So I started investigating myself. And I thought, I'm going to prove to these people this stuff is happening to me. And then I started doing that. And then everybody started saying, well, quit. Cut your equipment off. And I'm like, wait a minute. So that's what I'm saying, you know. You have to have equipment so you can record and show people what's going on. You know, just so you can say, look, this is real. This is the reason you have equipment. And the better the equipment is, the better it is to say, yes, it's true. You know, you can't disclaim it. Of course, you know, nowadays they'll disclaim anything, I guess. But it's better to have something to back up what you say than just say it. Because people are going to say it isn't real no matter what. But if you got something to back it up, it's going to look better.
Well, how much difference do you think it would make for people to do UFO investigations and star parties and things like that where they're actually looking for objects in the sky and signaling them with lights? How much difference do you think it would make if they had a psychic present when that happened?
I don't know. I think for UFOs, it would be better to have scientific equipment. People want to see the ships. They want to see technology be at its best. They want to see people get in ships and go places and catch them. They want to see people get in a ship and go to the moon, the real moon, not a fake moon. You know, they want to see people really go to the moon and not fake that they did and see what's on the moon. That's what they want to see. Because, you know, if we think that we never, that we're the only one in this galaxy and we're the only ones that ever was in this world, in the galaxies, then something's wrong with your train of thought. Because there's other life forms. I mean, I'm not saying there's little green men, but I'm saying there's other life than this world. There's other people. I mean, there's other, not people, but there's other beings in this whole galaxies. I mean, there's trillions and trillions of galaxies. I do believe that there's other life forms.
Well, I guess what I was saying is, you know, to be able to, you know, we have Gary Mansfield has these things in the sky that he sees. He signals them with lights, and they signal back, and he thinks they're actual life forms. He thinks that the things he's seeing are not mechanical ships, that they are beings of some sort.
Really? Well, and, you know, I tell you, I believe all of this could be connected. I mean, how can you just claim it could not be?
Well, why is it that there's so many people that are involved with UFOs also see ghosts or also have these experiences?
Well, how do you know that maybe that's why people who see, you know, ghosts can see that too? Maybe it's all connected, you know what I'm saying? Maybe they have a gift. I mean, maybe their brains trigger different, you know? You know, everybody, they said everybody's born with six senses. You know, you always had imaginary friends when you were playing with, but it was more or less the sixth sense. And then you were taught to stop playing with your imaginary friend. In other words, you were taught to cut off that sixth sense. And that's what happened to your gift. And then some people had it so strong they couldn't cut it off. And now they're teaching children not to cut it off. Leave it on. Keep that eye open. And maybe that's what it is. You know, you are gifted, and you should never cut it off.
Well, I want to tell you something. We're out of time. And okay. Our guest has been Valley Rojas. She is with Earthbound Spirit Hunters. You can see her videos on YouTube if you go to YouTube and simply punch in the letters Valley Rojas, V-A-L-L-I-E, and then R-O-J-A-S. And in addition to that, they have a website, and that's Earthbound Spirit Hunters. That's all one word, earthboundspirithunters.com. And go up and check out her website. And while you're doing that, send her an email. Let her know that that you're checking out the website. And if you have any experiences that you want to relate, be sure and pass those along. If you've ever seen a gigantic shadow person that looked like it was going to charge you, be sure and let her know. Because
thank you so much, Ted. It's been great. It's been great talking to you.
You know how you stop a huge shadow person from charging?
you'd get out of there fast.
No. No, you the way you stop a huge shadow person from charging is you take their credit card from them.
Oh, that sounds good. I'll remember that, Ted. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. I've enjoyed this, and we'll have to do this again sometime soon. Thank you.
Thank you.
Something new at Radio Disclosure. We have been collecting items of interest, something that you might want. And once a month, we are going to have a drawing and give away some of these items of interest. Now, if you'd like to get your name in the hat, write us an email. Go to radiodisclosure.com. That's radiodisclosure.com. Shoot us an email and tell us a little bit about yourself and tell us that you're interested in the items of interest. We're going to do a drawing once a month, and several people that listen to Radio Disclosure are going to get something really cool. We look forward to hearing from you. Go to our website, radiodisclosure.com, and send us an email. And keep listening and tell your friends about Radio Disclosure.
This brings to an end this edition of Radio Disclosure. We invite you to join us again next week for another broadcast of Radio Disclosure. A special thanks goes to our guest this week, Valley Rojas. Once again, thank you for listening to Radio Disclosure.